An article in the New Yorker by Malcolm Gladwell reveals that this phenomenon is far more prevalent than most people think. As of 1922, fully 148 different major scientific discoveries have been documented as occurring nearly simultaneously. This phenomenon of simultaneous discovery, what science historians call multiples, turns out to be extremely common. One of the first comprehensive lists of multiples was put together by William Ogburn and Dorothy Thomas in 1922, and they found 148 major scientific discoveries that fit the multiple pattern. Newton and Leibniz both discovered calculus. Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace both discovered evolution. Three mathematicians invented decimal fractions. Oxygen was discovered by Joseph Priestley in Wiltshire in 1774 and by Carl Wilhelm Scheele in Uppsala a year earlier. Color photography was invented at the same time by Charles Crowe and by Louis Ducos de Haran in France. Logarithms were invented by John Napier and Henry Briggs in Britain and by Just Burgi in Switzerland. There were four independent discoveries of sunspots all in 1611, namely by Galileo in Italy, Scheiner in Germany, Fabricius in Holland, and Harriot in England, Ogburn and Thomas note, and they continue. The law of the conservation of energy, so significant in science and philosophy, was formulated four times independently in 1847 by Joule, Thomson, Colding, and Helmholtz. They had been anticipated by Robert Mayer in 1842. There seem to have been at least six different inventors of the thermometer and no less than nine claimants of the invention of the telescope. Typewriting machines were invented simultaneously in England and in America by several individuals in these countries. The steamboat is claimed as the exclusive discovery of Fulton, Geoffroy, Rumsey, Stevens, and Symington. Dr. Erwin Laszlo commented on how often this effect appears in history. The great breakthroughs of classical Hebrew, Greek, Chinese, and Indian culture occurred almost at the same time, 750 to 399 BC, among people who were not likely to have been in actual communication. In Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's classic, The Presence of the Past, a variety of experiments support the idea that we are all accessing a common data bank of information when we try to think about something, such as to solve a particular puzzle or problem, just like these inventors were doing. In one case, Sheldrake gave a difficult hidden figure puzzle to random groups of people and timed how long it took them to solve it. Then the solution was revealed to 2 million viewers in a British television broadcast. Everyone watched as the hidden face of a Cossack emerged from the background, including his handlebar mustache. When Sheldrake then gave the puzzle to new groups in Europe, Africa, and America who had not seen the original puzzle nor the British TV show with the answer, they nonetheless solved it much faster. Dr. Paul Pearsall's fascinating work with organ transplants is another example of shared thoughts, though in this case there is a clear biological component involved. Dr. Pearsall has authored more than 200 professional articles and 18 best-selling books on this fascinating subject, and the entire article, with all the incredible specifics, is free to read on Pearsall's website. According to this study of patients who have received transplanted organs, particularly hearts, it is not uncommon for memories, behaviors, preferences, and habits associated with the donor to be transferred to the recipient. A total sample of 74 transplant recipients, 23 of which were heart transplants, showed various degrees of changes that paralleled the personalities of their donors. Thoughts are apparently being stored within individual organs before they appear in the recipient's mind. The source field has spoken once again. The Co-Intelligence Institute gives a thorough summary of experiments Sheldrake has either run himself or compiled in his impressive works on this concept of the shared mind. All of these breakthroughs suggest we are using the source field to think, at least to some degree. In one experiment, British biologist Rupert Sheldrake took three short, similar Japanese rhymes. One, a meaningless jumble of disconnected Japanese words, the second, a newly composed verse, and the third, a traditional rhyme known by millions of Japanese. Neither Sheldrake nor the English school children he got to memorize these verses knew which was which, nor did they know any Japanese. The most easily learned rhyme turned out to be the one well known to Japanese. Experiment 1. In the 1920s, Harvard University psychologist William McDougall did experiments for 15 years in which rats learned to escape from a tank. The first generation of rats averaged 200 mistakes before they learned the right way out. The last generation, 20 mistakes.